Dave, you can start whenever.
All right.
Oh, this is exciting. I'm excited about this. No pressure, Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. All right. This week on Binge Watchers, we dig back into the mausoleum of movies available on Shudder to bring you the haunted house classic The Changeling. Starring George C. Scott, this movie tells the story of a grieving music composer who moves to Seattle after the sudden death of his wife and child. He moves into a mansion of all places that has a sinister past. Based loosely on claimed true events out of the Cheeseman Park neighborhood in Denver, Colorado, this movie seems to have gone on to influence some modern ghost stories such as The Ring, The Others, and Guillermo del Toro's The Devil's Backbone.
Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
So, John, what did you think of it? What were your first impressions of this classic?
I'm kind of biased against haunted house movies and ghost movies in general. I usually think that they're full of shit. The whole subgenre of ghost movies, I don't like. Usually, it's got to take it to the next level for me. I much more enjoy like full on possession, demon transformation. You know what I mean? I'm a monster on the outside kind of guy, I guess, you know? And I thought it's interesting because it has George C. Scott, who's like an incredible actor, and he has like a huge theater background, and I'm like, okay, so while methodology, like the method, right, wasn't established when he was studying, essentially the method for method actors came out of theatrical acting, right? British Conservatory acting anyway, right? So I'm like, it's got to be really hard for a dude like George C. Scott to be in a movie where they're like, okay, now pretend that this kid is drowning in a fucking tub. Or like, oh, pretend that you see a ghost at the top of the stairs. you know what I mean? Like, so my first impression is he's doing the best with what he's given. But honestly, what I liked more in the movie than the ghost stuff was like trying to solve the mystery, like putting all the clues together. And he goes on like this little detective story. So... you know, this is a binge maybe for me. If I had to put it on the binge scale, binge now, binge later, binge
wow,
never.
Wow, I did not expect
it's
that.
Like in between. It's in between binge it later or never see it. So
wow, really?
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I really liked it. I liked it because the atmosphere, I love that it's not, like now, you can't make a movie like this nowadays. Like doing things with more sound design and more... mystery or like I never thought I'd be scared of a wheelchair and I was like I loved it.
Well,
I thought it was great.
I don't mean to interrupt on your turn, Nick, but what I was gonna say is like you said atmosphere. I think the soundtrack, the music composition is what's scary in this movie. The music scared me. Nothing else scared me. The music scared me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a great score. I agree.
It is. It really is actually. Adam.
I have a little bit different take on it, I guess. The thing that I didn't look at it like oh, I'm watching something that's intended to scare me. George C. Scott in this movie, the character he plays, cannot be frightened. And the reason that he cannot be frightened, you'll find out if you watch the movie. But he's gone through, you know, some hard times in his life. And this is him moving on, and he just takes this house on. Like, I don't think anybody else that would have moved into a house like that would have taken that on. I felt like a certain level of realism, if you could inject realism in this genre, this is what it would feel like. This is what being in a house that is haunted feels like. Banging. Strange as I love the sound design and the sounds in this movie. They definitely draw you in. But it's not some overblown... blockbuster, marvelized modern horror movie where people are being whipped through walls and stuff like that and completely unimaginable things are happening. This is grounded, and because it's grounded and because it feels like one of those old classic movies, I couldn't help but identify with his character. and go on the mission that he is going on. And the thing this is so neat, because nowadays, if this horror was told, they just try to hype up the ghost element and they try to make it do more and more bigger and more fantastical things. But this movie is about the mystery and solving the this ostensible crime that they come across, and how they go about dealing with that, and how they answer the problem of the movie, and how the question of the movie too. Fascinating, like how it all comes back to itself. And I don't want to give anything away. I just love that you find out. Every little step is—it's not about the horror. It's about the suspense, and then it's about the mystery, and then it's about the story coming full circle. And I love the way that story was told.
Speaking of the story, I'll lay it out for everybody. It's about a composer named John Russell who's trying to escape from a personal tragedy by renting a big house in Seattle, and while trying to compose some new music, it gets disrupted by an unwary spirit of a small boy that can't rest until he gets some kind of validation for his existence. Was that good enough, Dave?
Yeah.
Well, I guess good enough summary.
Good enough Cliff Notes. Yeah, yeah. TV Guide version of.
Well, I didn't get to actually give off my impressions of it.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. That was a great summary of the movie. I don't know. First impressions for me. I kind of agree with John to a degree. I kind of agree with points that everybody's made, but I agree with John. Ghosts inherently aren't necessarily scary, although I do actually enjoy ghost movies, as long as I know, even movies like the Amityville Horror that say based on a true story, throw that shit out the window and just go in and watch a ghost movie. If you try to bring reality, or you try to portray it as being real, I can kind of roll my eyes because I'm a non-believer. I'm sorry, I don't believe in ghosts, but I think they make for great fiction.
Well, hey, you know
sports.
What, Dave? You know what, Dave? They believe in you, okay?
but they make for
They're
great stories. I don't know. I mean, this movie, watching it again, you can tell its fingerprints are all over modern movies. I mean, it's all over The Ring. It's the Others has a character in common, but there's a character in the Others also called Tuttle, or Mr. Tuttle, like in this movie. I just see this movie being influenced on in a lot of modern movies as well. I agree with the score. I actually own the Blu-ray of it, which came with the CD of it, so that tells you that a lot of people agree with you on the score.
Oh, really? It comes with the CD?
Yeah, it comes with the actual
CD.
That's
really cool. Oh, that's
And it's got great atmosphere. And I mean, I think going along with John that, it's a serious actor. I think this was made by a serious director too. He'd gone on to make horror movies after this, but he was mainly known as a serious upper crust director. I mean, he made a movie with Peter O'Toole called the Ruling Class, about a guy who thinks he's Jesus Christ and his family is trying to like put him into a mental ward or deal with him or something. So, I mean, it has a pedigree above, the slashers and horror movies of the time, although I love all those movies, but it definitely takes itself a lot more seriously than, other movies of this kind. And I kind of appreciate that for it. It's not a teen ghost story. It's not, these are adults trying to deal with the supernatural. So I don't know. I dig it. I think it's a cut above the rest of this type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Dave, it only takes one instance for you to believe in ghosts. So,
so watch out.
Yeah, I'm gonna come back next week. I'm like, I gotta change my mind. That's visited by three spirits, which coincidentally George C. Scott also did a Christmas Carol, but I never saw that one.
I'm gonna mention that one again later.
Huh?
Mm.
Nice.
Hey, Nick, if people really want to scare themselves out, what can they do?
They can go and get the subscription to Shudder.
Shudder.com.
I'm just saying.
You might want to tell them maybe what kinds of things they can see on Shudder.com, and is if there's a promo code they need to punch in to get a free trial would be good information.
Like maybe people who wanted to watch this particular movie that we talked about.
Yeah, I watched this on Shudder, actually. Yeah, and you want to watch a ton of horror movies, go to Shudder. You're going to get the crap scared out of you. It's great. It's worth the subscription, let me tell you.
Yeah, so if you want to try it for 30 days, I think you have to punch in the code BINGEWATCHERS, which is the name of our show.
You wanted me to do that part. I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
What's that full address?
I'm dying.
I didn't know you wanted me to do that part.
Dave, keep the train on the tracks. Bring us into our next segment.
Sorry, I was laughing.
All right, so I guess that was a bad break. All right, so this is like a favorite or a good entry in the subgenre I like to call dead ghost kid movies. Think of things like The Ring, The Sixth Sense, Lady in the White, if you know that one. So starting with you, Nick, like, do you have a favorite dead ghost kid movie?
Actually, you named one of them. It was The Sixth Sense. First time I saw that, I mean, I don't think I can go into spoiler alerts right now, but I don't want to. But first time I saw that, that movie blew me away.
I'll spoil it for everyone.
I don't know how to talk about it.
Here he comes.
Johnny spoiler, here he comes.
Well, Dave said the category is dead ghost kid movies, so I don't have to spoil it for anybody, actually. If you're paying attention to the podcast, it's dead ghost kid movies, and you just mentioned I like The right, Sixth Sense, so I think they can draw the lines themselves to the conclusion on this one.
Johnny spoiler is doing for you is he is taking the connect the dots and putting them as close as possible next to one another.
Yeah.
Without saying it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
I'm going to go with The Others.
It's a good one. Mm.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't there a foreign version of that? And then there was a remake, or is the foreign one just include American style cinematography? Like, do you guys know?
I don't know. I know Ringu and The Ring are related in that way, but I didn't know that The Others was related.
I thought it was from a foreign director, American or something like that. I don't know.
Nicole Kidman's in there, which all candlelight for a long time.
Nicole Kidman's in that movie, right, Adam?
Yeah.
And it also has a character named Mr. Tuttle.
Does it?
Is that
the name Smith or something in movies? Like screenwriters just keep naming ghost all the kid characters
movie, Ghost Haunted movies? Yeah,
that's probably. in Brazil. Henry Tuttle, Henry Buttle.
I have to watch that movie again.
I haven't seen that in years, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I'm going to say my favorite dead ghost kid movie is kind of one that's a bit underrated, but I love Stir of Echoes. I think that's such an underrated movie that a lot of people kind of, I think it got overshadowed by The Sixth Sense because it came out the same summer, but
it came out 2 months later. Yeah. It got overshadowed.
It's like one of Kevin Bacon's best movies, at least I think. It's got a lot of atmosphere and it's got like some really creepy ghost effects where, like, I don't know if they drop frames or something, but like there's a weird effect to the girl walking in that movie that always freaked me out.
Well, that was like early days of video effects when they started combining video with film. So they probably did something between the two, like frame rates or something.
Something like that. But she's always had a creepy, herky-jerky movement that just, I don't know. Hmm. But that's a great, like I said, it's an underrated Kevin Bacon movie and just an underrated ghost movie. But
I probably have this, what I think is the most terrifying ghost kid movie like ever. Ju-on The Grudge. Have you guys seen The Grudge? Like the Japanese version?
Yeah.
The Japanese, the Ju-on? No, I haven't. It's been on my list.
That to me is like beyond the ghost kid subgenre. And I know I was talking about haunted house movies being bullshit, but watching any of the Grudge movies will give you like a sense of PTSD. And they're fucking terrifying. So Ju-on The Grudge with the little ghost boy in that movie, that'll fuck you up for life. You only have to watch it once. Like, it's not something that, it's not rewatchable because it creeps you out so much. You're not going to want to do it. But
yeah, ideal setting is you're in a giant house. No one else is watching it with you, and the house is creaking, and all the power is out except for what's powering the television.
I'll have to take your word on that. I have to watch that because I watched the American Grudge and got nothing.
Oh, I actually was going to say the American Grudge was done pretty well. The one with Sarah Michelle Gellar and Bill Pullman, like that was actually done. It's not bad.
I think it was the same director. I don't know. It didn't work. I mean, I watched it like almost like the setting Adam set up. I watched it at like 1 a.m. In a dark house. Nothing.
Wow.
But I've heard the Japanese one is the greatest. So I got to get to that one eventually. And my wife sticks
by it.
Pretty
damn scary. I don't know if all the Grudges are on Shudder, but I know this will blow your mind. There's like 16 Grudges, and then there's like 3 remakes, and then there's like a couple comic books, and then you mentioned The Ring a few times already on this show. There's actually a movie that came out recently called Sadako versus Kayoko, which is they combine the ghosts from both movies into one super ghost.
Which is actually a Shudder exclusive.
Yeah. It's into one super demonic ghost or whatever. Like, it's like a ghost plus ghost equals like Ghostbuster Trouble. I don't know if it's good or not. You know what's really funny, though?
I've heard good things.
I Googled it.
It sounds like the Freddy versus Jason of Japanese ghost movies.
This is how well your phone knows you. I Googled it because I was getting ready for to do research for The Changeling, right? So I Googled this, wrote it down to tell you guys about this because I didn't even know this happened. They combined The Grudge with The Ring. And then I turned on Shudder, and guess what was playing in the Shudder live channel?
Oh, shit.
That movie?
Yeah, that mashup movie. It was playing. I was like, fucking, so Google communicates that well, huh? What timing? What timing?
That's incredible.
All right. Where are we at?
So, moving on, I guess. What is everybody's favorite George C. Scott movies? I guess I'll start with myself. Actually, this one might be up there, but since we're covering this one, I'll move on to something else. I'd say it's either between Hardcore, which is something we mentioned a few weeks ago, or actually The Exorcist 3, which I only caught up with in the last
year. Son of a bitch.
All right, well, jump on, Nick. I mean, talk about it. It's a great fucking movie.
I mean, no. George C. Scott, like, it's a great movie. I think it's better than the original Exorcist. And George C. Scott's like this detective looking for the Gemini killer, and he steals the show. The movie's suspenseful. It has one of the best jump scenes ever. You know what I'm talking about, dude.
Yeah, well, what's funny is that I won't ruin it. They talk about that jump scene, but I think there's a scene that's way scarier with the chick crawling on the ceiling. That always freaked me out.
That's scary, too, yeah. I totally agree with you, Dave.
I watched there's a director's cut that's on Blu-ray right now, which is, like, more true to the original novel. And it doesn't have an exorcist. Actually, I need to go back and watch the original version because I've only seen the director's cut, which does not actually have the exorcism in it, which was shoehorned by the studio after the fact.
And I've only seen that version, so I'd like to see the one the Blu-ray.
Yeah. Well, it's like funny, the Blu-ray version, because they never stored everything, so it's like it's a director's cut with VHS inserts. Yeah. So it's like it's not perfect looking, but it's watchable.
I'll watch it.
It's like it's a serial killer movie. It's not really. It's the original version is more of a serial killer, strictly serial killer movie, not so much a exorcism movie.
That sounds like they were intended to make a different movie, and then they slapped it on as a sequel.
Pretty much. I mean, because it was based off a book called Legion, which has had tied events to The Exorcist, but they made it The Exorcist because you know money.
Yeah.
A Christmas Carol.
Nice.
Grew up with that.
I've heard that's good. I gotta get to his version.
I hear it's great. Yeah.
I mean, him playing Scrooge is a no-brainer. But this is a guy that was in Doctor Strangelove. I mean, this guy's been in all kinds of stuff. And obviously the role that he's most known for is Patton. And I remember watching that with my dad, and he's trying to explain like, you'll know if you're, you know, brave enough when you put your hand in the goo that was your best friend's face or whatever. And then you'll either own up and become a man or, you know, not. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with those sentiments, but his ability to communicate in that movie and become that character, that's what really put him on the world stage like nothing else.
Wow. Well, I like him as the villain in Firestarter. I don't know if you guys saw that. Stephen King movie.
The
girl has the psychic powers. He plays John Rainbird, who's the doctor of the Institute that's trying to, like, harness all the kids' psychic powers. If you want to see George C. Scott pulling out everything that he has in his little bag of tricks as an actor, you should watch a movie called The Hospital.
I've heard that's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's written by Paddy Chayefsky, who's a good screenwriter.
Oh, yeah.
He
gets compared to Quentin Tarantino all the time.
Yeah. Paddy's pretty good and did most of his stuff in the 70s. But then I don't know if you guys, this will blow your mind. If you guys remember Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, which was a bunch of cartoons that got mixed together, like Alf,
yes, I do.
The Smurfs, the Warner Brothers Looney Tunes, plus Mickey Mouse was in there. Like Alvin all the
and
stuff
the Chipmunks.
They were all mixed together, and they were fighting like kids to stay off drugs, right? So, the cigarette smoke was played by George C. Scott. He did the voice.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. And did you guys ever see the teen comedy Angus?
Yeah, I was watching that like 2 weeks ago.
So George C. Scott played, you know, Angus's grandfather who was like going to get remarried, you know, in the movie or whatever, and is like, you know, talking to his grandson about courage when it comes to, you know, young women that you're attracted to, and you know, his grandson's trying to navigate like the school dance or whatever, but and it's a little sentimental, but it was pretty entertaining. So
I watched that like literally, well, not all of it. I watched about a half hour of it a couple weeks ago because it popped in my head. And as a fat kid, that movie spoke to me so much. I was a fat kid at the right time when that movie came out. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, that's my life, except I don't play football. So, I don't know. I've mentioned it on here before, but it looks like that cursed X-Men movie New Mutants is getting another release date in August, August 27th, I believe. But we'll see if that happens with the way the world's going, the most cursed movie release.
I was hearing that they might go to Disney Plus, but now so they're actually going to release this movie finally, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, this was shot 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out in 2018.
So every year they just update in the CGI. Like, hey guys, we got to go back in here. This other movie came, Deadpool 2 came out, and their effects are going to be better than ours. We need to go back into the lab. And it's supposed to be a horror movie, right? The first horror movie. Yeah,
they said it's a lot like it's supposed to be a lot like Nightmare on Elm Street 3, where it's like kids with superpowers in a mental ward. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm a sucker for the X-Men movies. That's the one series of superhero movies that I faithfully see, even the bad ones or so-called bad ones. So I'm there for it. I'm just waiting for it to get fucking released already.
Now is this the last? This will be the last of like the X-Men series from 20th Century Fox, right?
Yeah. So and that's the other thing is Disney's holding on to it, right?
Yeah,
until they reboot it or fold them into the MCU. I don't know when or if that's going to happen. But
interesting.
According to David's show notes, the episode is about to take a downward spiral at this point and become like an in memoriam. Like, so, you know, folks, listen to the first 20, and then after that, pop some pills because you're going to be really Xanaxed out with the depression.
We're going to start crying over here.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, these are things to report. I mean, because we are binge watchers, but this happened, I guess, yesterday or Friday, but I don't know if anybody's familiar with her, but the indie director Lynn Shelton just died the other day of a blood disease. And one weird thing is I didn't know she was dating Marc Maron of all people here recently.
Announce her death. He said they were just starting a life together, blah, blah, blah. The only movie I know her from, really, is the Prince Avalanche movie where Paul Rudd and Emil Hirsch, I won't call him Emil tonight, I'll call him by his actual name, are, like, cleaning up fires, you know what I mean? They're working in, like, they go in and do, like, post-fire cleanup or something.
Yeah, I've heard about did she act in that? Because I know that was, like,
No, she just directed it.
I thought what's his name directed that? The David Gordon Green.
Really? I thought she did the movie. Maybe she wrote it.
I think they run in the
same circle. Much about this lady, honestly. Oh.
She did a great movie a few years ago called Your Sister's Sister with Mark Duplass, Emily Blunt, and I think another actress who is escaping me right now. She's a good actress, but it's like it's just a simple relationship movie with it's like three actors in a house kind of a movie. She was one of those types of directors that made very simple stories. Hump Day is supposed to be about two friends who decide to have sex with each other to test their friendship. I've never seen it, but I hear it's great. She directed a lot of TV, actually. She's like she's one of those directors that just wanted to direct all the time, whether it be a sitcom or a feature movie. She just like, give me directing.
Dave, I feel like you're the only one who knows who she is.
I guess I'm more into the indie world. I thought she was a name people knew, but I guess I'm wrong. People will know her now. This one hurt, though. John was the one that dumped this on us.
I didn't dump anything. I just posted something in a messenger board. That's all I did.
Yeah, well, you know what, John? You ruined my day because I didn't know about it.
You dumped it on me.
You can't let that ruin your whole day.
Yeah, you dumped it on me, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
You dump it on us, John.
You keep dumping it.
Yeah, stop it.
No more dumps.
Yeah. All right, my next video is just going to be ejaculate.
Yeah, okay. So should we just jump into
it? That'll be a new actor that's up and coming.
That's good.
You know, on stage where they pull you off with a giant, what is it, coat hanger or something?
The big
what
hook?
A big hook? Yeah, you just got. They just took you out.
Or they have a janitor like the Apollo Theater, like the janitor comes out and starts wiping the floor. Yeah.
Oh man. We still haven't told anybody who died.
Everybody's in mystery. Like, what the hell are they talking about?
We never answered the question. Tune in next week. Yeah.
Well, all right. Should we just spit it out? One of the greats, Fred Willard, died this last weekend, which fucking sucked. He was, well, I mean, he was 86, so he lived a long life. But talk about a funny fucking guy, though.
Well, he's done a lot of comedy television. Most of his credits are television. He was the boss and Anchorman. I recently saw him in I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, which is a sketch show on Netflix. But he does this really funny thing where they have to replace the organist at a funeral, and he's like some kind of like vaudeville guy, like barbershop quartet type, and he has all these zany props or whatever. He was in the original Space Force TV movie in 1978, and then he was going to play the dad of the main character in the new Space Force sitcom or whatever on Netflix. He completed the whole first season, I think. He was going to be, what's his name?
So we still have more. Well, hey, we have more Fred Willard to look forward to, just the last of it.
Yeah, and he's been in, he's been in 20 or 30 movies. He's a guy, he's one of those guys that pops up in things and you go, oh shit, it's that guy.
Yeah.
He's one of those.
Well, he's also one of those actors that, he could be in a shitty movie for one scene and he'll elevate that one scene. He was just one of those actors.
He's in those, you know those comedies where they parody three movies in one or whatever? He was in one of those, like Epic Movie or something. You know, those comedies that are like parodies of parodies.
He was one of the only live actors to ever appear in a Pixar movie in the beginning of WALL-E as a representative of the people before they go to space.
Oh, he's on the recording, right? Telling humans what their life is going to be like in outer space.
And he's like the captain or the president or whatever he is.
So I don't know.
Tim and Eric. Tim and Eric's awesome show appearances, too, by the way.
That makes sense. That's true. I don't know. So, what's everybody's favorite movie that you've seen him in? I mean, I'd say Best in Show. I mean, I actually threw that on yesterday. He fucking steals every scene he's in. He is so smartly idiotic, if that makes sense, in that movie.
Dave, for the first time ever, you and I are in sync. Like, we are just everything you say. I'm like, God damn it, this guy's taking everything I'm choosing.
So when you guys spoon together, who's the big spoon and who's the little spoon?
Obviously tonight, Dave's the one spooning me. Yeah.
Holding you to my chest, saying everything's gonna be right.
It's okay, it's okay. I'll steal your thunder all night. It's okay. Yeah, Best in Show for me.
I think I mentioned what I've seen him in.
How about Spinal Tap?
I'm gonna shift directions though, because I think Dave wants to talk about all the people that died. He probably missed the most famous one. Little Richard died. Good golly, Miss Molly, Tutti Frutti, Rip It Up, and Purple People Eater. I mean, give me a break. You want to talk about dead celebrities of this list? I think he's the most famous.
He's not mainly known as he's mainly known as a musician, not a film actor. Although
he transcends the medium. You know, he's from the same generation as Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash and all those guys kicking around the same dust at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that has more to do with the news cycle. The show, so many people died in last week. I'm like, oh, yeah, Little Richard. That's I feel bad now.
I don't know if you noticed lately, Dave, I've been avoiding bringing up dead people on this show as like a strategy. And then Dave's notes when we have three dead people on here.
Anyone else died, Dave?
The ratings.
Well, the kid in the movie we watched tonight died.
That's true. There you go.
Anybody on their last legs, Dave? Something people we could look forward to for next?
Nothing I'm aware of.
Anyone for next week's
still
show?
Still kicking, as far as I know.
That's true. I know.
All right. Anybody watching anything cool this last week? Anything new? Since we're all still sheltered in place, for the most part.
I watched The Fog for the first time.
The 80s one?
The movie, on Shudder.com.
The John Carpenter one?
Yeah, the John Carpenter one.
Good.
That might actually be my favorite Carpenter. It's not his most popular, but it might be one of my favorites.
You know, it is one of my favorites. I didn't know it was until I watched it. But the soundtrack Oh my goodness, music! The main theme, and the mood painting. My goodness, like the environment. You know, it has to be environmental because it's called The Fog, right? But they really went all out on a crash course in how to make a movie take you to the right mood in order to enjoy the story that's happening. I don't think anything has ever done anything better.
Just that first 10 minutes where they're like establishing the town and like weird things are happening, it's beautifully done.
I was going to say that. Again, we're in sync. Not only that, the shows what a master John Carpenter is, because if you watch that movie, it is violent, but yet I don't think you see any blood or guts at all.
No.
That movie is scary as shit with just mood and atmosphere.
It's definitely creepy.
I think we're all three in sync right now. I mean, I think I'm gonna take the same drawer.
I'm going to take it on a different direction. I was at the dollar store and I got the Blu-ray for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2: The Secret of the Ooze, and I put it in with my kids, and it was fantastic.
Holy crap! Yeah. Holy, you won't believe this, Nick. Two months ago, I did the same thing. I got all three at the dollar store.
I was like, dude, a Blu-ray's a dollar? Why not?
Oh, man, it's empatico.
How are you finding
around
Blu-rays for a dollar? That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, Dollar Tree.
Well, because they got this 4K now. They have this 4K Ultra HD now.
So they're getting rid of the Blu-rays now.
Yeah, the Blu-rays, yeah.
Well, they're just like a lot of it's overstock stuff, yeah. It's I found some pretty decent stuff here and there.
Yeah. And it was fantastic. Still holds up.
Go Ninja, go Ninja, go.
I mean, God, Vanilla Ice at the end? I mean, come on. You can't go wrong. My daughter was dancing to it, so that's a good sign.
Nice.
Right
on.
Yeah.
When she gets older, that might be embarrassing, but right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to film it and put it on her, you know, show her back or whatever. Yeah,
oh, that's great.
Have you watched anything new lately, John?
Yeah, What We Do in the Shadows. I've been watching that show. It's a vampire sitcom.
I did catch up with that.
That's set up like a documentary. Last season, it was just about the lifestyles of what it would be like for a group of vampires to live in Staten Island. And this season is like the show's like an indie hit or whatever. So now it's like, let's roll out the guest stars. So that's been kind of like what the second season has been. But it's pretty interesting. They also have an energy vampire whose character's name is Colin Robinson, and he's the guy that played Nate from The Office. He was the warehouse guy. And he's like another character actor. He could be like a Fred Willard type, you know, a comedy actor that shows up in all these random things. But he just he basically exhausts you, right? He just absorbs your energy, right? And they had like developed his powers over this new season. And then there was an episode this week that, like, if I was working on this show, this would be kind of the story that I would tell. It's like the vampire goes out of town for a little while, and then he's trying to support like a high school volleyball team. It's ridiculous, but it's so great. Good. It's so great. Like, so I've been watching that. I was going to watch Anchorman 2 the other day for the Fred Willard stuff, but I only started playing the movie and didn't really get into it. And by the way, boys, me and Adam sat down and we tore through Monstrum. That just happened. So
you guys did that the other night. Nice.
Tonight, up, earlier. That was this evening.
Oh, you did
earlier.
This earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was a pre-show.
Shudder exclusive.
Yeah.
Enter code Binge Watchers for 1 month free.
Nice.
Yeah. You taking notes, Nick? Because that's how you fucking do it. You just roll it off the end of your tongue.
So I'll be brief. Like, I've had good luck this week. I've watched at least four movies, four full movies that were all good. All recommended. Beastie Boys story, if you like Beastie Boys. The Girl with All the Gifts, which is on Netflix, which is a really good zombie movie that I finally caught up with. And then in my effort to watch classics that I haven't gotten my ass around to watching lately, this weekend I watched Some Like It Hot, which is the first and only Marilyn Monroe movie I've seen.
Wow.
And I watched Billy Wilder. He's a great director. And I finally caught up with Chinatown, of all things, which it's just as good as everybody says. So, you know, as long as you can still stomach Roman Polanski movies, some people refuse to watch them anymore. So, yeah, all good movies, all classics. That's what I've been watching this week.
Wait, did you say this is the first time that you saw Chinatown?
Yeah.
Wow.
We're gonna have to pull your binge watchers card from you, I think, David. We're gonna
Now hold on. Now you can take you could do that, or you could say, "Hey, you finally got to it. I am making an effort."
Yeah. How do you pull the card after he's already told you that he's seen it?
Ah.
You're not supposed to take the joke like that far, Adam. it's not supposed to exist after it's said.
I'm just worried about you grabbing his card. That's all. Oh, I mean, just trying to help out a buddy here.
Yeah, I might have to watch the two Jakes now. See if that's any good.
Oh, that one's it's interesting. Yeah,
I know it's not known up there with Chinatown, but hey, it is the same character.
And I just want to say that I think Chinatown is overrated.
Oh, ooh, snap.
Yeah. You know what? I just watched it today, and I gotta say, appropriately rated. But okay. I could see that stance. I think Rosemary's Baby is so overrated. So I'll take that stance.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm more with Rosemary's Baby.
See, and I'm more with Chinatown now. I think Rosemary's Baby is way too fucking long and just ugh. But
see, that's one of my problems with The Changeling, though, folks, is you could almost say that's way overrated because I went into that movie with so much expectation. Because everybody online talks about how great the movie is, so it kind of built itself up to be this masterpiece, you know.
I think that's kind of fair. I think in the last 10 years or so, it's kind of built a cult following.
It's got more attention than it ever has, because I watched it a long time ago, and no one knew about it.
Yeah, I watched it about, I don't know, like close to 10 years ago or so, before it kind of had it rid the wave of becoming popular again, so...
Mm-hmm.
I could see that going into this movie thinking it's going to be a masterpiece and it's just okay.
Well, I didn't expect anything. I didn't read anything about it. It was brand new to me and it was a unique experience.
That's awesome.
Cool.
So
This guy went on to direct Species 2 of all things. So, you know,
I was going to mention that. I mean, that's a great one.
I haven't seen that one. I got to get to Species 2.
Yeah, it's funny.
I've only seen the first one.
Oh, I think that's having like an anniversary. Actually, are they having like their 20th anniversary or something of the original?
Is it already 20 years?
Something
like that. The original.
Yeah. Like 25, I think.
Something. I just saw that. And there were some stories going around about that. They're having like some anniversary thing.
I wonder what H.R. Giger thought of it.
He thinks nothing of it.
I know he died in 2014.
Yeah, but that guy existed in his own special micro universe. He didn't. Yeah, there's a documentary about him. Dig that up and watch that shit.
Oh, that would be interesting to watch. Yeah, I know he was into film early on.
Hey Nick, what is the Shutter pick for next week? Put that on your shoulders.
Actually, I don't see that.
Talk about breaking the fourth wall. Hey audience, guess what? We're writing outline notes for the episodes now, and this week this show was written by David.
Is it the dinosaur movie?
What?
Is it the Tammy T-Rex?
No, we cut Tammy off the list because
I don't see that. I'm sorry. You put me on the spot. It's not in my notes.
Well, I believe it's The Void. Is that right?
Yeah, we had juggled around Nightmare Cinema, and then we settled on The Void because we moved Tenebra to our Summer Slash lineup, which is around the corner. We're like a couple weeks away from our summer marathon.
I'm excited for Summer Slash.
Dude, Summer Slash fucking kills it. This is the second year going in, but last year was huge. So I'm expecting tremendous, terrifying things this year. But so we're going to do... Next week, guys, we'll be reviewing The Void, so if you do hook up yourself with Shudder... You can watch The Void.
Nice.
I'm excited. I'm excited to watch this one again.
Got some great creature effects. I've seen it once.
It's
looking forward to watching it again.
From what I
great,
hear,
great effects.
At least worth the 90 minutes or so that it takes to watch it. And going back to Monstrum, that's also on the platform as an exclusive. I think, as Adam said, it's not what you expect it to be. And it reminds me actually of another movie that's like a French movie. Do you guys ever see this movie called like The Time of the Wolf or something where there's like...
Yeah.
Brotherhood of the Wolf?
What is it?
Brotherhood of the Wolf?
Yeah, Brotherhood of the Wolf. And like,
I just watched that like a month ago.
There's two French detectives who have like a French martial arts style that like they're looking for some beast that's terrorizing the countryside, but it's a way to like upheave the whole situation. And I won't say exactly which elements are like that in Monstrum, but... Monstrum just showed up this week, so if you want a monster movie with maybe some political intrigued, then check that out. And as we know, I mean, Korea won the Best Picture last year. A lot of good stuff is coming out of Korea now, so there you go.
Check it out.
Check it out.
And North Korea is finally off Nick's ass because their leader's dead. So there's no... The hit's been withheld, Nick. You don't have to worry anymore.
What, did he die?
No, he's alive now.
Oh, did they bring him back to life?
I heard he made an appearance. Or at least he's showing
his body double is running around.
Yeah,
for
old probably.
Footage. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's not this show, right?
Yeah, that's
they
not
the
show.
Any movies
it's not the show. It's not the show. It's not the show. There was a North Korea comedy that they made with Seth Rogen and James Franco, and we were making jokes at the time when it came out that they were going to come after us because we were making jokes about the movie, and everybody made that movie for Sony was on like a hit list from North Korea, and like Nick was the most outspoken, so we're recalling an old episode. I don't even know if it's available. It's probably not even available anymore, but.
I kept saying, Kim Jong-il, come get me, and he never did, so, yeah.
Well, Kim Jong-un is sick one now, but Kim Jong-il was a movie fan, and he liked giant monster movies, and I think he, like, bankrolled one or two movies that I don't know if you could even get a hold of those.
We'll find out that North Korea secretly financed all the Ninja Turtles movies or something.
Well, there's, like, theories that he has, there's theories that he has a huge like film collection. And when I mean film, like 35 millimeter film, there's like theories that he might have like lost cuts of movies or shit in there. They just don't know.
Oh
my God. Actually, did you know that he like kidnapped his two favorite movie actors and made them make movies for him?
Oh yeah, like, yeah. Two Asian movie actors, right? Like a couple.
Yeah.
They escaped somehow. I think they escaped like during a production or something. There's a movie like, about that.
Feels like
there's
a movie
about that experience. I think.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay, see, I was just literally about to say they need to make a movie of that, so apparently they did, and I need to find it.
On that note, Nick, take us out. This episode will go on forever.
Well, guys, check us out on Instagram. Look at Binge Watchers. Look us up on Facebook. And if you want to listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Pandora, TuneIn, like Google Podcasts. We're everywhere, guys. But check us out. This is Nicky Lace. Stuff Got Real.
Sleeps.